Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with eight kids between us, from preschool to teen.
This is the show where we help you feel better about the mom you are and share our own parenting tips and personal stories.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to another More Than Mom edition of the Mom Hour. I am Megan Francis, here as always with Sarah Powers. What's up, Sarah?
Hey, Megan.
I'm excited about this topic. I love these More Than Moms, and we need to make sure that everyone understands that this is a sort of bonus episode for people who already like us.
Yes, when you're in.
If you are new, I would highly recommend listening to one of our numbered episodes. Those come out on Tuesdays, and they're typically, I don't know, a little more organized, longer, more research, not researched exactly, but there's just going to be some usable tips and advice in them. And these are just pure, silly fun.
And usually we don't even talk about our kids or parenting at all. You wouldn't know that we are moms.
I think it tends to like kind of creep in.
Secret's out.
We're moms. And today we're talking about guilty pleasures. I love this topic because I love music. I love books. I love movies. I like TV. And I know that there's this sort of trend toward naming some of those or like labeling some of the things that you love as a guilty pleasure, which I take a little issue with because I feel like any pleasure is good. And especially if it's, you know, good media or even bad media, it's okay. And who's to say what a good song is and what's not. But it's still kind of fun to dig into those things that maybe, you know, maybe wouldn't be the book title we'd put as our like Instagram profile.
Yeah.
Or something like that. So
the ones we're a little less public about.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like
Before we jump into that, Sarah, I want you to talk about our sponsor.
Yeah, I'm super, super excited about this one. So we are partnering up with Chameleon Cold Brew. Now, cold brew coffee has been around for a while. I have struggled to find one that I like, and I am a coffee drinker. I love an iced coffee in the afternoon, and I love the concept of cold brew because it's a concentrate that you can keep in your fridge, and then when you pour it over ice, you add, usually it's like a 1-to-1 ratio, so you would add some water or some water and milk or just milk to get it to the strength that you want. And I love this in theory, but I have tasted some cold brews that just didn't taste good to me. Yeah. So I was really excited to partner with Chameleon. And so they brew their organic beans for over 12 hours, resulting in a cold brew coffee that is super smooth, low acid, and highly caffeinated. And again, with the concentrate, you can kind of choose. Like you can just have a little bit and then dilute with water. So I like that as well because I don't always need a big, huge caffeine kick. Sometimes I just like the taste and a little bit. So here's my other favorite thing is they have flavors, but the flavors are not syrupy, like sugary, syrupy flavors. So they haven't added any sugar. They've just given it a hint of that flavor. We tried a few, but vanilla was my favorite. And I am not like a vanilla latte person at your local establishment because the vanilla always is too sweet.
It's so sweet.
It's the taste of vanilla, but with like a cup of sugar, and I don't like my coffee super sweet. I can take a little bit. So this is no sweetness, just that little hint of vanilla. And then, you know, if you want, you could sweeten it on your own. So
didn't you describe this to me when we were just together last week as like the LaCroix of coffee flavoring?
LaCroix just has a hint of flavor. And that's how I felt about these flavors too. So we were up in Santa Barbara on vacation and the vanilla Chameleon cold brew was going around the whole family. Everyone was having iced coffee in the afternoon. And we were seeing it in the stores, which was kind of cool because we're working with them here, but you can find it really almost anywhere you shop, including Whole Foods, Target, Safeway, Kroger, Walmart, Publix. And we saw it literally in the small local market near my parents' home in Montecito.
Nice.
So if they've got it, then definitely your big retailers have it. So the other thing about cold brew that I didn't know at first, but it doesn't have to be cold. So you can make your cup of coffee the way you like it and then heat it up and have a hot cup of coffee. It just means it's the way that it's brewed and the way that it's stored. So took me a while to catch on to that. So go find Chameleon Cold Brew, you guys, anywhere that you shop and give it a try and let me know what your favorite flavor is. I would love to hear. All right.
Okay. We're jumping into this very fluffy episode, More Than Mom episode. Okay.
You are driving the bus.
We're going to go back and forth and ask each other some questions, which I will admit right now that I came up with all these questions because Sarah thinks she's terrible at coming up with questions like these. So, or do you think you're terrible at answering questions like these?
I get really self-conscious about pop culture questions. And I think it's like a history of feeling really out of tune with pop culture. And so I'm just always afraid I'm going to say the wrong thing. And I have a terrible memory. I have total amnesia for books I've read and movies I've watched. So whenever anyone asks me questions, I draw a complete blank. But that's okay.
Well,
I'm going. Let me.
So let me also just reassure you by saying that I am also sometimes uncomfortable with these discussions because I have a very pedestrian love. Well, I have a love for very pedestrian pop culture. Let's just put it that way.
That's okay.
And
that's
so, totally no, it cool. is. That's the whole idea of guilty pleasures, right? But sometimes around certain people, it's almost like, is it okay to say like, right. I really love that Whitesnake song or whatever it is. Right. So I'm going to set the stage by asking kind of a general question.
Okay.
And this, I'm really curious how you're going to answer this. I'm going to let you answer first. If someone asks you to name your favorite book, movie, or song, how do you feel about that? Like, are you able to do that?
Not really. There's a couple, you know, I felt like until I was about 20, I could. I felt like I kind of had my answers for that. And I felt like at the time, I felt like they were, you know, intellectual and intelligent enough, but they were true. Also, they were really my favorite. Like one of my favorite movies of all time is A Few Good Men, which is an Aaron Sorkin movie with Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson. It's well known, but I know it better than anybody. And like, that would have been my answer until I was, you know, came out in the early 90s. Like for another 10 years, that would have been my answer. I probably would have said To Kill a Mockingbird for my favorite book. The problem is, that was 20 years ago, and I don't feel like I don't feel like those are good answers anymore. Even if I do love the movie A Few Good Men and I love To Kill a Mockingbird, I just kind of lapsed out of having a quote unquote favorite. So I haven't updated my favorites. So it's funny. Yeah. I can tell you what they were when I was a young adult, but I don't know that I could tell you what they are now.
Well, I really hate that question, and it's one that I think is a little overused. People ask it. I think it's one of those like filler questions or like a kind of a getting to know you thing. I find it to be a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Like, it's almost like there could be a wrong answer.
Well, and also for me, it's like, what if I leave something out? Like, do I have to pick a favorite? What about the context? Like, is it my favorite book to read when I'm feeling nostalgic, or my favorite book to read when I'm feeling thinky, or my favorite book to read when I'm laying on the beach? Like, to me, the context matters. Same with movie and same with music. And I have to share this story really quick. A long time ago, to your point about wrong answer, a long time ago, you know, 20 years ish, give or take, I was on a date with someone and he asked what my favorite movie was.
Okay.
And you know, he was also young.
Right.
So keep in mind, I was not, you know, I wasn't like 19 dating a 35-year-old or something. And I said The Three Amigos.
Okay.
And he said Dr. Strangelove. So you can see the difference.
Yeah.
And I felt like an idiot.
Yeah.
But at the time it was complete. It was either going to be like that or maybe like Billy Madison. At the time I had probably watched The Three Amigos 100 times. I loved it. I thought it was the funniest movie I'd ever seen. To this day, I still love that movie. I wouldn't say it's my favorite anymore,
but like, I've never seen it.
I can't. It's Steve Martin, Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
And Martin Short. I mean, I couldn't tell you what my new favorite would be to replace it because I've never loved a movie in the same way again.
Yes.
I've loved movies in different ways with equal, you know, ardor.
Right.
But anyway, I felt like an idiot. And I also felt like he lied.
Right.
Like, I didn't feel like that was possibly his favorite movie.
There's definitely now, some posing that can happen
exactly,
with those questions.
So I'm just glad we got that out of the way because I find those questions impossible to answer. And it's not because I can't commit, or it's not because it's like asking me which of my children is my favorite.
Right. Yeah.
Which asks me, and you know, depends on the day,
right,
my mood and the context.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you a question now because I didn't have an answer for this when you put it in our outline, but maybe I'll think of one. So speaking of guilty pleasures, what totally trashy book could you read again and again and again? And do you read books over and over again? I used to, but I don't anymore.
Okay, so when I read books over and over again now, it tends to be like childhood books. I'll go back and reread the books I grew up with. There's something very comforting about that to me. But if we're talking trashy, I have to admit that it's probably like the V.C. Andrews series.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're so trashy.
Yeah.
And they're so disturbing.
They are like, so weird. I have not done a reread since I think I was in seventh grade when I read those.
Yeah.
And I haven't read them since. So,
but there's something about that seventh or eighth grade time period.
Yeah.
That it's like the themes in those books, Flowers in the Attic series. And then it goes on and on and on. There's Petals on the Wind. Oh, that was in the Flowers in the Attic series. But she had like, well, and VC, the real V.C. Andrews died at some point and her family picked it up and started writing under her name. So all the books about incest going after Ford after that were all written by other people. which is interesting. But there's just some themes that are super disturbing. But when you're seventh grade, it's like super titillating, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And like, it's almost like the real world has opened up to you. So you want as much shocking information as possible.
So I feel like I could go, I mean, I haven't read those books in years. My aunt had a, calling out my aunt on the podcast, but she had like a box set of one of the later ones that I probably read in the 90s, like in the late 90s.
Right.
So maybe like around, you know, when I was a young adult. But the reason I would go back and read those again and again and again is I think there would be this like mix of kind of like going back to that time of my life when everything was so shocking. But also I just think it would be hilarious to go back and read them again now and be like, what on earth? what is going on here? My mom actually called when I was in eighth grade. My mom called the librarians and told them to stop letting me read that book because she would not let me check it out.
So
I had a block on my account. I couldn't check them out anymore.
That's so funny.
So I would go stand in the stacks and read them and like move around the library to stay away from the librarians. And they finally busted me.
That's really funny.
Kind of funny now that I look back at it.
Okay, this is a total side story, but I work in our school library and I only know of one kid, and that's younger. This is elementary school, but I only know of one kid whose mom asked that we not let her check out. I think it was the Ever After series. And I don't know if it's just she's not quite old enough or it's just getting repetitive. First of all, no judgment against that mom because totally like you get to have your reasons. But I'm curious like how common that is to go right to the librarian. We totally respect it. It's a little note right under her barcode. And we're like, yep, none of that for you.
Well, and you know, when I was a kid in seventh grade, I remember, and I was a very young seventh grader. I was only 11. So I was like kind of in over my head when I got into junior high. And started reading from the junior high school library.
Yeah.
There were certainly things being discussed in these books that I had never encountered before in literature. And I remember in one particular case, remember those books from like your reference would be a little later than mine, but like the really cheesy covers. And it would be like a girl like looking pensively out the window or like. And then
Where they were like at boarding school or summer camp. Kind
yeah.
Of? Like,
or whatever. Yeah. It would be like about their high school experience or whatever. And there'd be like, so I'm just talking about books in general from that time. And there would be like the title would be like Risky Choices or like, you know, stuff like that. And I checked one out and wow, let me tell you, it was an eye opening experience. that such things were going on, not with me, but like kids like a little bit older than me. So I read a lot of really dirty books, but like really the V.C. Andrews ones, I don't blame my mom. Those really pushed it into a totally different and very sick direction, but I'd still read them again.
I love
and
that answer.
They re-released them. And now the title, the covers make them look like a romance. Like they're not, they're supposed to be like thrillers.
Yeah. Kind of like, like creepy. Yeah.
Like creepy, like sexy, but creepy thrillers. Now the covers have gotten like kind of soft and it shows like the brother and sister looking like it's just too much. It's really, really weird. So you asked me that question and do you have an answer?
I don't think so, but I enjoyed yours.
Okay, good. I talked for long enough so we can move on. Okay. So, all right, here's one for you. I'll have an answer for this one, too.
Okay.
But you're at the grocery store. A song comes on the radio. Unable to help yourself, you burst into song, or at least hum under your breath. And I mean, like, you can't help yourself. This is like a compulsive thing. What song is it that makes you do that?
So I have one favorite song that would fall into that category, and that is Son of a Preacher Man, the Dusty Springfield version.
Yes.
It's just kind of like my happy song. I will sing it and dance to it wherever it comes on. And it doesn't come on very often at like grocery store type places. So it makes me really happy when it does.
Okay.
I would also say Eternal Flame by the Bangles. And almost any Madonna.
That's a great one.
Like
Eternal Flame is a great song.
It's a great song. But any Madonna, I'm trying to think of what album it would be, but like any mid to late 80s Madonna song.
Was True Blue one
no,
of her
like
albums?
Before that.
Like, okay.
Like, well, and I might be, see, this is where like my amnesia as well as lack of pop culture knowledge, but like, you know, Like a Prayer.
That was a little later.
Like a Virgin, right?
Oh, Like a Virgin was like 83.
Yeah. Okay.
So that was early. And then Like a Prayer was like 90.
Okay. So anywhere in between there.
Anywhere in between. That was her prime time. Like, La Isla Bonita, remember that song?
Yeah, I don't love that song, but I know it.
Well, I do. I like it. And I found out the hard way. I know all the words. Well, I don't know. There's not really any hard way to find that out, but I didn't remember knowing all the words. And it came on one day, probably at the grocery store. and I sang along with it. And
Papa Don't Preach.
Papa Don't Preach. Yep, that's all that middle.
Yeah.
Like mid to late 80s.
So yeah. That would just be like kind of like bopping along. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So mine is probably Africa by Toto.
Okay.
I find it impossible not to sing along with that song. Like it literally impossible. I can't help it. And that one and In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins.
Wait, what's
and
how does that go?
That's the one with the great drum solo. Okay, so
you have to sing it. I mean, I know okay, some I'm Phil trying Collins
to
from
remember
that
how to get to the part.
Period.
It's all been a pack of lies. Da 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 da. Bum bum. I can hear it coming.
Oh yeah, yeah.
In
okay,
the, okay. Yep, there you go. Good. So there's that like epic drum solo, right? I don't know, like in this probably the last third
okay
of the song, and there's also an epic drum solo in Africa at okay some point, or maybe it's just drums all
maybe
the time.
You, like, we're should have married a drummer or something.
Well, you know what's funny is Owen told me that he doesn't like riding in the car with me when there are songs with drums because I take my hands off the wheel too much.
Oh my gosh.
And it makes him really nervous. He'll sit in the back and be like, "Mom, that's not safe. Mom, what are you doing? Stop it."
Hands
so now I
wheel
try to, I hang on with one hand and I beat on the wheel with the other hand. But
I love it.
I make him uncomfortable. Sorry about that, Owen.
Sorry, Owen. I do feel that grocery stores often have a very satisfying cheese ball factor to their
yeah
playlist. And it's like, you don't have to claim liking the music because you're just at the grocery store, but really you
right
do. And I miss that because I think it's mostly at big box grocery stores. Like for us, that would be like Vons or Ralph's or Safeway
yeah
or whatever. And I don't think Trader Joe's has that going on.
But there's like that whole like, well, and it's changing a little bit too, or maybe depends on the store that you're at. But like my local grocery store in town has a much more updated, it almost sounds like the radio station that I'm on. So mm-hmm it's like very top 40. And I don't like that. I already hear that in the car.
Yeah.
What I want to hear in the grocery store is like that John Waite song, Missing You from the 80s. Like I want to hear that at the
yeah
grocery store because I'm not going to hear that in any other context. Like I want it to be that station they play at work because everyone likes it.
Yeah.
Those stations,
yeah,
you know, positive hits.
Well, and it's almost
from the 80s,
now becoming,
90s and today.
Yeah. Like the early 2000s are now 20 years ago. So like I'm
know
thinking of like vintage Britney Spears and like
right
NSYNC. Like I could definitely bop along to some of those too.
Yeah.
When they come
yeah
up. Okay. Next question for you. If okay an artsy intellectual new acquaintance asked your favorite movie, which one would you mentally pass over before choosing something less embarrassing?
Well, I can tell you what, the Three Amigos would not be on
yeah
the top of my
list.
Yeah,
you tried that once.
Anymore. Tried that. That did not go over well. Gosh, I have to say almost every movie I loved up until I was probably in my 30s was some dumb comedy, like Dumb and Dumber.
I love Dumb and Dumber. That's like in my top 10
yes
movies of all time. So we're this.
Yeah. Dumb and Dumber. I really did love like Tommy Boy. I loved all the SNL like all the SNL stars movies from the 80s, all the Chevy Chase, all the Steve Martin,
mm-hmm,
all those from the 80s. Have you ever seen the movie Clifford?
Sorry,
Martin Short.
No, I don't think so. I was thinking of one of the old Steve Martin ones, but no, I don't think I've seen Clifford.
So Clifford is it's a Martin Short movie and he plays a 10-year-old boy, but he's like 40
okay
in the movie, which is weird enough. But it is hilarious and it's so quotable. There's so many quotables in that movie and like things that my family will be like, look at me like a human boy. And nobody knows what we're talking about except the people who've seen that movie. So, but let me say this though. I think nowadays, if an artsy intellectual new acquaintance asked my favorite movie, maybe I wouldn't pass those over. I would just own it.
Yeah.
And see if they agree. Because,
yeah,
I mean, even artsy intellectual people like dumb. Because some of that humor was so dumb, it was smart. And that's what's
yeah and
brilliant about it.
There's a reason why that stuff has stood the test of time. I mean,
yeah,
that's why there's really no point in judging. Like, there's really no right answer to that question. So,
right.
Yeah, I'm not sure what I would mentally pass over. But a few more movies that come to mind for me is Almost Famous is one of my favorite movies
oh, yeah
of all time. I don't think that's that embarrassing. I mean, that's a
no,
really
I don't think it's embarrassing at all. That was a legit movie.
Maybe it was embarrassing how
harder
much I really loved it.
Yeah.
I really,
okay
really love that movie. I love Father of the Bride. Love
oh
that
I
movie
love Father of the Bride. Wasn't that didn't that take place like someplace around your
I think it no in Pasadena when we were in Pasadena. I'm pretty sure that
oh
house when we were
yes
at the conference
that's right
someone said that house was nearby. I always thought it was filmed in LA somewhere. I mean, Pasadena is LA area, but yeah, that is a great just sweet movie. And
yeah,
I don't know.
It is a sweet movie, and it's funny, but like not too funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's
like
just
the part when Steve Martin is like removing the superfluous buns.
Right. It's a great cast.
In the grocery store, and he's having his like breakdown.
Yeah. Yes.
And then Martin Short as again Martin Short. He's making a return appearance as the wedding planner.
Yes.
Yeah. Good movie.
I think any movie like that that sort of takes place in a like a bougie, like aspirational big house.
Yes.
Like there's
Which
something
so
like,
many from that era
guilty
did.
About that. Like Home Alone even. I mean anything with like the wealthy family in the big house. And then like the house is so pretty. I look at the house half the time and the outfits and like, I don't know. That's the guilty pleasure part. In fact, let me tell you a guilty pleasure TV show that I have right now. That this is actually embarrassing, I think, is Grace and Frankie with Jane Fonda.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, it's not embarrassing because a ton of people are watching that show. I think it's embarrassing because it is only, I think, a pretty mediocre TV show compared to the other TV shows that I watch. But it's totally a guilty pleasure because it's just like, it's just good enough. And I can watch like
good enough.
Six episodes in a row. And the houses are so beautiful. And the acting is really funny, not just the four older adults that play the older characters, but also the people who are like our age, like they're grown kids. The acting is funny, but it's not, it's solidly mediocre. And I love it very much.
That's so funny. There's so much TV like that. And then it's like, when do you decide to commit? Something that's like, it's like brain candy in a way. Yeah,
it is. Yeah. And usually, I mean, you know, we've talked a lot about TV and I usually actually go a little more, I don't know, not highbrow, but like critically acclaimed.
Challenging.
Yeah, because I am a big TV buff. So I have everything at my fingertips. I have HBO, I have Netflix, I have all the things. And that's what Brian and I like to do together. So for me to have this little side guilty pleasure when he's out of town and just watch like binge for Grace and Frankie's. It's good.
You know who I feel like is in like the movie equivalent of those kinds is Diane Keaton.
Yes.
I feel like she ends up in a lot of movies that are good, but like the ones she was in with Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
And her kitchen in that.
Yeah,
ridiculous.
The house is beautiful.
The house, it's gorgeous.
Same as the one with Meryl Streep, and that one takes place in Santa Barbara, and I'm going to forget which one it is. There's another beautiful house in that one. It's another one where they're like divorced and whatever. There's a movie coming out called Book Club with the four older actresses.
I think that might be out.
Is it out already?
I think it's been out for a bit. I think it was really funny, but a little raunchy.
Septuagenarian humor.
Now that is a grandiose statement. I love it.
Like, why do I like movies and shows that are like my parents' age characters?
Because it's aspirational. Because you're looking forward to that being your, not only your life, but
I mean,
you know,
I don't
your
know.
House.
That's weird. Okay, I think it's your turn to ask me a question.
Okay. Okay, so here, and I'm going to include TV in this too.
Yeah.
Have you ever lied about a favorite book, TV show, movie, or song for fear of embarrassment or judgment?
Well, first of all, yes, because I just tend to have corny taste.
Because you just did 5 minutes ago?
Yeah. But I will give you one specific story from junior high, and that is that everyone was listening to 97.5. I don't remember the call letters on it, but the alternative, it was, you know, pre-Green Day, like Nirvana, like it was like grunge alternative, early 90s. And I didn't like it. And I tried to like it. I would go home to my little, you know, boombox and like have it on. And I would end up changing the channel to like the radio station my mom listened to, or just nothing, or show tunes or like anything else. And I really tried so hard to like it, but radio station culture was big. Like everyone talked about like the DJs and the morning show. And I just constantly lied for like years that I was listening to that radio station. I just couldn't do it. I just didn't like it.
That's funny. I don't remember ever lying about it, although I probably did at some point, but I never liked grunge ever. I didn't like Pearl Jam. I do like Pearl Jam now. Like I really appreciate them,
I like
Pearl
Jam.
I never liked Nirvana.
Yeah.
I just didn't like that whole genre of music. So when grunge got really big, I switched to country.
Yeah.
And I listened to country music for like 6 years because at that time, country was the exact opposite. It was like a little, it was still pretty corny.
Yeah,
It was
squeaky clean,
all about values and uphold, you know, like upright citizens and like cheerful and like the lyrics were super clever.
Yeah.
And that was right around the time that, well, I know Nirvana was earlier, but like by the time I was just well and fed up, because first you had Nirvana, but you still had like, you still had some old school early 90s hip hop and also hair metal was still phasing out in the early 90s. So there was like a buffer. There was like a 2 or 3 year buffer. But I started listening to country when Garth was on the rise. Trisha Yearwood, Shania was kind of stepping into the scene. So there were all these new, like, very palatable, like, pop crossovers.
Right.
Although they didn't cross over all the way yet, they had like enough of a pop sound that it wasn't too foreign to my ear. And I went in hard for country until like probably 2001 or 2002.
Yeah. And I think we've talked about our country phases, and mine was so different because my parents had listened to like 70s country, 60s and 70s country in the home. And I associated it with like the dorkiest thing that you would never want to be associated with. And I don't remember a country station that was putting on those newer artists. And so country to me would have been as embarrassing as not listening to the regular radio. And I didn't get into it until I was like later in college when the Dixie Chicks were out. And then I realized I've always liked country music. I just didn't know a way to listen to it and not be like super self-conscious.
Well, you have to remember as well that I think we were living in very different. I was living in a very small rural town.
Yeah, you had more rural.
So
where
country
there was, more,
was okay.
Yeah.
Like A-okay.
It was A-okay.
And what's kind of funny for me is I stopped listening to country when the Dixie Chicks had their big moment where they like basically kind of got run out on a rail. Well, they made some political statements and their careers were kind of done for a while. And then I kind of lost interest because I was so into the Dixie Chicks that not having them part of that scene. And then Garth did that thing where he took all his music to Walmart and that's the only place you could get it. And by the way, Garth is going to tour.
Oh,
like, starting soon again. I've never seen him, and I really
Spotify?
Want to.
I don't think he still's not on Spotify.
I think he got on Spotify. I think you can stream his music now. Okay. I'm pretty sure he's on Spotify, but I'm not 100% sure about that. But the Dixie Chicks started touring again, which is exciting. And I've sort of dabbled again in country music, although like I'm not all the way back in by any means. I've started to pay attention to a few artists and like there's some good stuff out there.
Yeah. I agree. I can always get behind country. I just like you. I go in and out of phases where I'm paying attention. There was one solid phase of driving a lot in Chicago where I listened to the country station there for a long time.
And I will tell you right now, I just looked on Spotify and Garth does not have many songs in there.
Yeah,
I
didn't think so because my mom loves Garth and I always try to get playlists and then I'm like, God, why is this like a knockoff version of something?
I know it's somebody like it's like someone's singing it in their in their home studio, trying to pass themselves off.
It's not good. Did we get through?
We have one left.
More.
One left for both of us.
Okay, so it's 3 o'clock on a rainy Saturday. Your house is empty, and you are forced, or you get to watch a movie by yourself. What is it?
Okay, so I would say if it's one of those days where I'm just like aimlessly flipping and have to pick something, it would probably be Bridget Jones' Diary.
I love that movie.
I can always return to that movie. I always think it's funny. It's kind of, you don't have to think too hard about it.
That is Renee Zellweger's And that came out when I lived in England. And so the soundtrack is like burned. I had the soundtrack. That is a great movie. I would have forgotten, but that is a fantastic movie.
Throw out one other one?
Yeah.
If it was today, I would watch Beaches.
I love that movie. That was one of my
favorite movies. But I haven't seen it in a long time, and I'm just in the mood right now to watch Beaches, like light this
minute.
Don't
you feel like as an adult that would be so sad? I don't think the sadness.
It would be terrible.
It would be so sad. I watched it as a kid.
I know.
Or Steel Magnolias. That's another one I watched a lot as a kid.
I can't watch that movie. I can never watch that movie again.
I don't think I would ever. And I would.
I saw the funeral part.
Yeah.
Like just flipping stations a little while ago. And I saw that and I was like, nope. I just
no one is
scrolling
better.
On by.
No one is better than Sally Field at those types of scenes. I mean, I have that scene is like burned into my memory. Okay. So the one that came to mind for me is more like warm fuzzies. And that is the Susan Sarandon Little Women. Love that movie so much. And it's got great costumes and great, period piece elements. The acting is great, I think. And
yes, I agree.
It is. I think we've talked about how it's like a Christmas movie, but it's not. Like
but it's not. You could watch it whenever.
You can watch it whenever, but it reminds me of Christmas because there's Christmas scenes in it. But I'm sure there's others, but that is the first one that came to mind.
There you go. Then that's
it. I think every Christmas I
want to
watch it and no one will. So.
I'll watch it with you.
Yes.
Next Christmas, we can just both sit at our houses and watch it and comment over it. We can start exactly the same time.
And then we'll do a podcast about it.
Yeah, sounds fun.
Okay, I would love to hear from listeners about More Than Mom topics. We've been doing this now. I want to say we have 8 or 10 of them. You guys kind of get the vibe of what we're doing here.
Which
is questionably valuable to the podcastosphere. But I would love to hear from you guys. Somebody commented on Instagram that these are growing on her. And I thought that was
I thought that was very
honest.
Like,
it's growing on me. Not sure.
It's like making a negative comment. It was like a compliment sandwich.
Yeah. I actually took it as a compliment because first of all, we've said from the beginning, like, you guys don't have to listen to these. If you want the parenting stuff, come to us on Tuesdays. And we totally respect that not everyone's going to be into the extras. Yeah. So I did take it as a compliment. Like that she even gave it a try. So anyway, email us.
Thank you for sticking with us long enough for us to grow on you. Sometimes it has to be like that.
Hello@themomhour.com and tell us what kind of More Than Mom topics you'd like to see, because we're not going anywhere. We're going to keep doing these.
We are, whether you like it or not.
And with that, we will be back in your ears on Tuesday with another new regular episode. This was fun.